You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Bachelor Pad After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Bachelor Pad After Show.
All right, guys, we all know that Bing is for doing, and we are doing another after show on AfterBuzz TV. Were you, like, gunslinging?
I don't know. I was trying to make it interesting. Bing is for doing.
There we go. What's up, AfterBuzz TV Nation? I'm JC, and this is The Bachelor Pad, Season 3, Episode 5. And let us have our wonderful co-hosts introduce themselves, starting with the lovely lady to my right.
Canton Bliss here.
And across the table.
I'm Kathy Kelly.
Now you're just a copycat.
Hey, guys, I'm Chrisley.
Chrissy always has the best intro. It's like the understated one. It's just like, okay. All right, so today, okay, this has to be the craziest Bachelor Pad episode ever with the twist that we're going to get into because we have Hell Hath No Fury, like an Erica Rose scorn, The Great Fall of China, and some interesting news and gossip from Kathy Kelly. But first, let's talk about overall thoughts. Kathy, what did you think about tonight's episode?
I really liked that there was the whole, you know, two people that won the same date concept that we had last week, and then they had to throw in a little twist there. And then the twist at the end of the episode really got to me. I did not see that coming at all.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Wow.
And, Chrissy, you've played this game. Did you see this coming?
Best episode of Bachelor Pad in the history of I've seen the show. History.
Really?
Best episode. Chris, hands down, is one of the best players I've seen in this game since the beginning.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Better than Dave Good?
Way better than Dave Good.
What?
Way better than Dave Good. Chris is pulling things off that nobody has even tried to do before.
Now, do you think the producers could be helping him out a little bit because they want him to stay on? Like when they changed the rule, they changed the rules because they knew Chris was coming out. We can talk about it later, but I think the producers had a little hand to guide the outcome of tonight. They can't manipulate the game because it is for money,
right?
But they can actually maybe change the rules.
I thought that they would have to have those rules set in stone before filming it all, so that they wouldn't have lawyers up their butts about it.
Chris, can they do that?
I would be willing to say the same thing. I think that because it is a game for money, if they are going to throw anything, it has to be has to go through the lawyers first, because then a contestant could come back and say, well, I wouldn't have got sent home if you didn't change the rules. So I feel like that has to be some kind of contractual obligation on their part.
Sure, but they can change the game within the parameters of the contract.
That's what I was going to ask, is if they can't change the rules, can they change some form of the game or some, like, outcome of the game?
No, I feel like they couldn't do that, yeah. They had to have this set in stone, like, saying that they were going to do a twist at this point in the season from the beginning.
I agree.
However, I think they could have said, you know, to Erica Rose or whoever, you know, oh, do you really think it's them who's voting you off, or is it someone else? Maybe you should check.
Yeah, because they can do that,
because they can
right?
do that.
Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's rose ceremony nights, period, are the craziest nights in the world. And there is a lot of going back and forth to people. And when I forgot who it was that said it was a last-minute decision, it's always a last-minute decision, because that last hour that you have to vote is just so crucial. And there's a million people telling you a million different things, and you don't know where to go or who to believe. So it is always last-minute. And I don't feel like the producers could have changed that at the last minute. Mm-hmm. But I do think they could, in an interview, say, okay, who's sending you home? Are you sure? Do you know? And they pose the question in your head, because at this point you're so far along in the game that you don't know who the hell to believe.
Okay,
so they create checked out.
You believe the last statement before you go in that ballot box room, I think.
And there was the rumor that lawyers were brought in this week.
Yes,
because of something
I heard that as well.
Yeah, so did I. So we'll get into that as the episode progresses. But I didn't ask Cannon. What did you think of tonight?
Are you in love with
Kaylin yet?
No, not necessarily. I think it's cute, the couple thing that's going on. I think the episodes for me have gotten less offensive in some ways. I think the overzealous, drunken sexual tension is easing just a little bit with the pairing off. Like, it's just not as raunchy to me.
They're in romantic relationships now.
It's a little better. Like, I'm not having a huge issue with it. So that's better. And I actually liked that some of the alliances and some of these kind of bonds are being questioned and tested. And that's part of what the game is about. And I like Michael Stagliano's move, even though it backfired. I like it because it was the game. And it was kind of mean, but that Stag, and he won, and he knows how to do it. So I feel like
the puppet master
made a move. Yeah,
got cut tonight. So before we actually dig into the episode, I actually do want to make a quick note, and that is, if you're not watching us live on AfterBuzzTV.com, make sure to tune in on iTunes, and please comment and subscribe, because honestly, we put on about 40 shows a week, guys. Everything from Rizzoli and Isles to Married to Jonas. We have a whole slew of shows that are coming. This fall is going to be big.
Honey Boo Boo Child.
Yes. X Factor Voice.
Yeah, I know, right?
We've got so many shows coming your way, and all we ask is for you to subscribe and comment, because it really does help us out to bring you this content weekly.
So let us know if you like us.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just curious.
Whether you like Cannon's hair. There we go.
I like my hair. Thanks.
There we go. Well, all right, let's get into the show. Let's get in with the first game, which was The Great Fall of China. You got to love the names that come up with these games. I mean,
I'm just so glad I worked at Hooters for 13 years.
Did you really?
No.
Talking about Blakely.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then someone said she worked there for 30 years.
That was priceless.
That was kind of catty.
I just think we need to get over the Hooters thing. Just going to throw that out there.
She's the one that keeps bringing it up.
She brought it up once. Everyone else brought it up to make fun of her. And it's a waitress job. She's paying her bills. I'm sure she has other goals that she wants to do. So I just, she's got her own stuff that we can make fun of. I just think where she works is kind of a low blow. That's just my opinion. It was just blowing up on Twitter and Facebook, and I was just reading a lot about it. And, she is a cocktail waitress. Me too. You know what I mean? It's what we do to pay bills, and I think that if we're going to make fun of people, then we should make fun of the girls that are talking about having sex in weird places, or we should, I just think Hooters is kind of a low blow.
What is it with the Twitter?
Much like Erica Rose's low blow tonight.
What is it with the Twitter? Is it mostly negative?
Yeah. A lot of people are just saying stuff about the fact that she worked at Hooters, and you know what? It's a restaurant. And people go there, and she serves wings and beer and makes a living and pays her bills. So,
she's proud of it, too.
Yeah, it's not,
it reminded me of Big Daddy.
She's not a strip club.
With Adam Sandler, where that woman, the blonde, is a Hooters and she gets made fun of a lot. But in the end, she's the one that has, the family and the baby, and she's married and all that good stuff.
Well, we'll get into the softer side of Blakely, because for the past 6 or 7 months, she's been portrayed as the heavy, the alpha female, the hard as nails.
She's softening up a little bit.
Yeah.
Love their life.
God bless her. Hooters, I'm a fan. Okay. Of
God
the restaurant.
Bless her Hooters. That's what he really meant to say.
Okay. Now let's talk. Okay. So it was an unfair advantage for her, but big deal. She won. But okay. Was it an unfair advantage for her to coach Tony to the win?
No. No way.
I thought that was annoying.
It might have been annoying to the other contestants, but that's her strategy. I mean, props to her for doing it.
And
props
to her every season. Yeah. Like the pie eating contest in the first one, the guys were over us screaming and yelling, eat, 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 do it like this, do it like that. I mean, that's part of being your team, is you cheer on your teammate. And the other girls didn't want to do that.
They're just jealous that they didn't think of it first.
I didn't eat the pie.
No, you weren't coaching, because I could see you. We know Chris a little bit, and you're a little tough as nail competitor, so I could see you kind of digging into him a little bit.
I don't even remember who my partner was for that, so I don't even feel like I think that I was actually cheering on Gia to win that. So I feel like that's the only person I was yelling with.
Just because you wanted the bikini model to get fat eating pie.
I just like her as a person and wanted her to win.
I mean, that would have been my strategy.
Wow, you belong on the bachelor pad, Candid. I'm telling you.
No,
yes, I can see you on there.
No.
All right, no. And the best line was, what is it? Erica wants to do something with her strengths. And we all in unison in the room said, Erica, what are your strengths?
Erica, call us and let us know, please.
Really, no offense to you, but I mean, that's how you're portrayed on the show. Yeah. But I mean, really?
Right. She's portrayed on the show as a backstabber, as a...
With great Botox.
Well, I just think that Michael's portrayed as the puppet master and Erica's portrayed as the puppet a little bit.
No, I feel like she runs the show a lot of the time. And maybe not this season, but she definitely did in Bachelor Pad 2.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, totally. But and then when Sarah got DQ'd, that was a great moment because she also said, now I know how Olympians feel.
I mean, you can't even compare the Olympics to freaking Karen. Sarah, I love you. You know that. But come on. I feel like that's probably when the lawyers were called in, because I feel like she did touch the top of the cup, and that was one of the rules that Chris said would disqualify you. Mm-hmm. And she thought nobody was looking. And I think that that's probably what happened, is that they probably, somebody saw it and called them in and said, look at, she touched her finger. And I'm sure she said, no, I didn't.
I love that you think that no one's looking, yet you have 10 cameras on you from every single
You try to be slick.
Yeah. Now, so, of course, we have Tony and Blakely that win. You know, they won together. And could this be a new power couple? Could they really make it to the end?
Well, they're definitely a couple.
Yeah. After this episode, I think so. I think the partnership, at least in this episode, brought out a better side in them. Like, Tony had a personality. Ooh, imagine that.
He
didn't cry, which is good.
I definitely think that they both have a target on their backs now. I mean, they have from, past episodes. Chris really wants to get Blakely out of the house. So I feel like they're not safe. I don't know if they're a power couple yet. I feel like they have to win pretty much every challenge to solidify themselves.
Can they do
it?
Can they win the rest of the challenges?
I don't know.
I think they can win a lot.
Because you're starting to see, even in the edits, I don't know if you guys notice, when Blakely and Tony were sitting together, Tony's hand would be on Blakely's thigh. And
she's sitting on his lap.
Yeah, they're starting to play him up. Like, all of a sudden, because it was Chris and Blakely, and now it's Tony out of the blue.
Yeah.
You know, are we missing something? Did they save that for the storyline now?
In the past 2 weeks, I think she hasn't said that she's attracted to Chris in any way. She's kind of shied away from that because she realized that he was hooking up with other girls. So we saw over the last 2 weeks the demise of Blakely and Chris, and now I feel like Tony's just kind of swooped in and been the knight in shining armor that she wanted, someone to save her.
Okay. So. We're going to get into that date, but let's start with the first date, actually, of Kaylin and Lindsay. And they ended up... What's the face, Chrisley? What's it for?
I just think it's so weird that everyone is so pro Kaylin right now. Like, I still see him as the most wormy, slimy, insincere guy there. And he lies to everyone every single episode about who he's voting for. And I just think it's weird that America has all of a sudden embraced Kaylin and said he's not that bad of a guy when...
He's still saying awful things.
Horrible. So I don't understand. Maybe they see Lindsay and they think that all of a sudden he's a nicer guy because Lindsay's with him. Like, I don't understand how America is now pro Kaylin. Please tell me. Tweet me, Facebook. I don't understand. Because he still seems, even on the date tonight, when he said things, his lips would go very straight. And I felt like it was so insincere. Like, I just...
He's an admitted liar. And then I'd like to point out, on the Men Tell All on Emily's season, that was filmed after Bachelor Pad 3 was wrapped. And he said some comments on there that didn't air, which were, tweeted about and reporters wrote about who were there, that were absolutely ridiculous. Like, he said, I think there was a line where he said, Americans like things sugar-coated. And you saw that part. But then he went on to say, because they're all diabetic. He would say awful things, not just about other people, but about fans at home. And
he's a narcissist. I mean, that's very clear.
I also think that he became so aware of how people viewed him that he's using Lindsay, the sweet, nice, naive, innocent girl that America loves, to make him look more attractive.
He's his own PR person.
Yeah. Like, I think that he was like, okay, I need to find the nicest, sweetest, most innocent girl in the house, and I need to have her fall in love with me, because then America will think that I must really be a nice guy.
So you think it's a showmance?
No, because I think that he'll continue to, I mean, obviously anybody that watches the show and follows them on Twitter or Facebook or Instagram sees that they're still together. So I just don't, I don't know. I just don't see a sincere bone in that kid's body. And I know he does all this like rescue work and he does all this charity stuff, which is great. I just don't know if he does it for the right reasons.
I just reminds think me of Ryan.
He's polarizing. Because, I mean, you have even people like Natalie Getz that's putting out quotes about that he is the funniest guy on the planet. He's the, he's a true gentleman. She was with him at a wedding just a few weeks back. So you hear these things that are, I wonder what the truth is. You hear so much on this side and so much on the other side.
It's probably in the middle. You know, I think there's truth to every stereotype, and I'm not pro Caitlyn, but I'm not as, you know, hateful towards him, I guess, as I was during Emily's season, because even if he is trying to be a better person for an insincere reason, at least he's trying. Like, I don't know. okay. I don't know. I'm just in the middle. I think the needle's going to fall somewhere in the middle with him, because I don't think that he and Lindsay would get along if he was that awful of a person.
I mean, she's seen it, and she's...
Yeah, I think it doesn't matter what you do. It's your intention. So you can do all the charity work and be the nicest person to people when you meet them at weddings, but when your intention isn't good and warm-hearted, then that's all that matters. Like, your intention's what matters at the end of the day, and I just don't think he has any good intention. But I could be wrong. He's one of the ones that I have not met. Mm-hmm. I don't have a gauge. I just go from what other people that I know that have met him, and there's just a very mixed emotion of people that say that he's as bad as we think, and then there's a lot of people that say that they just tolerate him because they know what to expect, and that's why they like him. Okay. So none of those sound good to me, but I mean, I don't know.
There are girls out there, and Lindsay might be one of them, who, you know, they think if the guy is great to them, they don't care about the rest. If,
right.
That's if he's true. Being how an amazing, you know, stand-up gentleman to her, she might not care if he's awful to other people.
And you can't see out of the situation that you're in.
And remember, Lindsay... Oh, sorry, Kenny. No, so polite. No, I remember in Ben's season also, she was the one that was... she was in... the guy broke up with her via text, right?
Yeah, and I think she's a little insecure. And anybody who gives her attention, she's going to fall all over it. I mean, and I'm worried that he's the kind of guy that's going to build her up and then break her down. And then build her up and then break her down. That's what narcissists do. They come across very charismatic. I mean, I've been in a narcissistic relationship before, so I get it. Like, and it's scary because you really can't see out of it because they're so good with words and they're so good with manipulating situations.
Wow. So,
I was sucked in tonight. I was like, he's saying all the right things.
You
like,
said that.
Even though you're looking at him and you know, like, or you see maybe some kind of weird intention from the outside, if you're sitting in that chair across from him, you're going to be like, oh my gosh, you're saying exactly what I want to hear. And, you know, and he's touching you and like the intimacy is there. And so it feels very real. And so seeing out of it, I can see could be really hard for her. Especially if she is wanting that attention and really craving it.
This moment in psychoanalysis brought to you by AfterBuzz.
AfterBuzz TV Canon exclusive.
I just think it depends on the person. And if she is the insecure person that has had bad relationships, of course she's not going to see through him.
And it doesn't help with the scenario that the date was put in. They were in that bridge that was closed off. They're in a Bentley with a chandelier hanging
it's
from
the bachelor bubble. You're in the bachelor bubble, love is like everywhere. I mean, these producers are paid to think of the most amazing, romantic, beautiful places that you can possibly think of and create that moment for two people. How do you not fall in love with a place or a situation?
But date two was the least romantic bachelor date.
I totally disagree. I would have preferred date two.
All right, let's move on to date two. We really want to get into that. And the setup was great.
I thought it was a really cute date, and I feel like it's a very real date. Like going camping with, you know, your significant other, that's amazing.
I think it can be romantic if you're with someone that you love.
That was not a bachelor bubble at all.
See, I disagree. I think it depends on the person. Like, I would have loved that date. Like an Airstream and a Bronco in the middle of the desert all by yourself with the stars. Like, I would have loved that.
That Bronco was awesome.
So was the Airstream.
Yeah.
That Airstream was badass.
Mm-hmm. I mean, at least they had a camper. Like, if it would have been tents and roaches and weird stuff, like crawling around and rocks you've laying
tents
on, that would have
been
not
fun.
Been good.
Which
for
they
me.
Did that in Brad's season in Africa. They tented it one night.
Yeah.
And Ben and Courtney, they went on that little stream date with Scotch with his dog, and they were just out. Yeah, they were. I think they ended up camping that night too. So
I think the Airstream may come up in the future a lot too, because I think it's owned by the Bachelor. Because I've seen lots of people posting pictures with that Airstream recently. That may work for the show.
Okay.
Trailer park weddings.
I love the Airstream.
But who could have seen the Tony and Blakely hookup? I mean, the pair?
No.
I thought you raised your hand.
No. Did you hear me? He was like, I'm hoping that this will be something romantic. And I was like, not going to happen.
Yeah, I said
like,
the same
first thing. First thing I said was, it's not going to happen.
I think Blakely said she's been hurt in so many past relationships, and I think a lot of girls go through this where they're hurt in so many relationships that they just want the good guy, and Tony seems like the good guy.
Yeah, I think when you date enough people that are wrong for you your whole life, that all of a sudden, and this is going to sound horrible, and Blakely, I apologize in advance, but I think that he's easily manipulated and molded, and I think somebody like Blakely with a really strong personality would see that as kind of attractive, that now she can kind of mold him into what she wants.
But wouldn't you say that that's relevant to most couples? There's always the lead, you know, in the man and woman, you know, in the relationship. There usually someone takes the lead, and a lot of time Blakely needs to be that alpha dominant person in the relationship, and Tony's the beta, the perfect fit for her, you know, even outside of Bachelor.
See, I think the opposite with Blakely. I think because Blakely's the alpha in so many other situations, she would want to not be. Because I know that I'm like that. Like, I'm a control freak. I want to have control over everything. But in my relationship, I don't want to. Like, I want the other person to be like, we're going to do this tonight. We're going to, like, I don't want to be the alpha.
Because it's the one time that you can relax.
Yeah. And I want to be able to submit.
Yeah.
More often than not, you're right. You know, like, the woman who takes charge at work and all the relationships and at home, she wants to be the one being taken care of. But Blakely seems the type that she always goes off of the top dog.
I don't know many girls that want a guy to, like, do anything that they say.
No. Yeah. Because it's not going to last. Yeah. That's the thing. She's going to be like, oh, he's treating me so well and he does everything I want, but she's going to be unfulfilled eventually. It just can't sustain her. That's why she goes after the challenging ones, I think, because she knows that's what she wants in the long term, is a really strong man that's going to be that much stronger than her. And it's going to take a really, really powerful guy to do that.
Okay, so she's going to get bored, so basically.
I think she'll get bored.
All right, hopefully they'll prove us wrong. But there was a lot of romance going on while they were hooking up, and all thanks to Wes. Wes song came back.
That was hilarious.
Wes has officially made more money on Bachelor Pad 3 than most of the contestants. Thanks, ABC.
Why is that?
Well, I mean, he gets paid to have his songs on the air. So just, I mean, I don't know if the public knows that, but most of the time, whenever you see or hear a song by a musician on a television show and a movie, they have to pay royalties to that singer. So now, officially, Wes has probably made more money than most of the cast by that song tonight.
Well, cool. Haven't they played Michael Stagliano's songs, too?
Yep.
Throughout the season, so.
Yes. Is Stag a musician?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. He's on tour.
That's awesome.
And see, now everyone was hooking up at that time, like Blakely, Tony.
Well, they edited it to make it look like everyone was. Right. Could have been from last week.
Chris Lee, come on.
I'm sorry. I just like to bring the real back sometimes.
No, I love that it was like Stag and Rachel and Chris and Sarah. And then Ed and Jacqueline. Ed's just kind of like snoozing there, like in this drunken slumber. And Jacqueline's looking at him with her face.
Yep, it was awkward. Yeah. Cricket.
Speaking of awkward, let's move into that, and I want to talk about that.
The awkward moment of the season.
Where everyone was talking about, you know, how everyone was coupled up, and of course the moment came to ask Ed and how he felt about Jacqueline. Did he say something wrong there? Was it just me?
I mean, was anybody surprised?
No, but he could have said it differently.
I thought he said it very politically correct. I thought he was not maybe super careful, but Ed's not delicate.
But he could have said it privately,
instead
of saying it in front of everyone, so she could just drop to the, because that could bite him in the butt.
But I feel like he has said that before, and we just haven't taken notice to it because there's been so much other stuff going on. Like, I think he's been pretty clear that he didn't want a relationship and that he was just looking to have fun. I think he's been really clear about that, and I think that we just didn't pay attention to it, and tonight it was such a big deal because we know now that she has feelings.
Girls don't like to pay attention to that kind of stuff.
No. Especially in the Bachelor.
They're like, oh, I can definitely change him. Yes. I can make him want a relationship.
Yeah,
so.
I've done that. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Are you quoting Jamie there?
Oh, I didn't even think about Jamie when I was saying
clearly
that.
It's a house trait.
It's not just a house trait, it's a girl
trait. It is a girl thing. I mean, I've done it too.
And I think he underestimated her feelings. Like, maybe they've talked about it and she's like, oh yeah, I'm just gonna have fun, but but that girls don't really say that. Most girls.
She
really?
Took him on a date.
They don't really mean that. Yeah, she put in a lot of effort.
Okay. Is it going to bite him back in the butt? Is it going to bite him back in the butt?
It doesn't look like it from the previews.
I would say differently. I mean, it seems like she gets really mad at him next week.
Okay. So. Because you got to admit, her ego is hurt. It totally. Is, you know, and Nick is floating around. You know, there's these possible maybe switching of alliances. And now that, you know, we know that Rachel will get into the eliminations, but Rachel's also kind of floating. You know, maybe there could be a switcheroo. And I wanted to bring something up quickly about Stag when everyone was hooking up with everyone. Rachel reminds me of Holly a little bit, physically.
Really?
Holly,
I don't think so.
Holly
used to have
blonde hair. Hold on. Excuse me.
I think you might
need
glasses.
No. Holly used to have blonde hair. Remember, Holly's changed her hair color, and if you change your hair color to Rachel, they both have that little delicate nose. They're thin framed.
They are both tall and skinny, and I think that the comparisons are done there.
Yeah, I don't see anything at all alike in either one of them. I think Holly...
I need another guy on the couch.
Rachel. No, I think Rachel actually handles herself better. I think that she... Yeah, no. Mm-mm.
No. Okay.
I'm going to get in trouble, so I'm just going to shut my mouth right there. And I'm not the biggest fan of Rachel. I've never met her, so I don't really know her.
Okay.
But from what I've seen on the show, I'm not really sure how I feel about Rachel. But... If when it goes to Michael Stagg and Rachel and Holly, like I can't even compare the two. I think Rachel is more put together. I think that she's looks like a woman. I think that Holly looks like a girl sometimes. I don't think that they can be compared at all.
Okay, and good point. I'll give you that. I'll give you 1 point. Fine.
Politically correct. I'm trying really hard.
Good. No. Okay. So basically, everyone's lovey-dovey. It's moving smoothly except for Ed and Jackie Lynn, but that'll be smoothed over.
Jackie Lynn. Is that Jacqueline? What you just called
Jacqueline? Jacqueline?
I'm still thinking of Jackie Gordon. Sorry, I can't get it out of my mind. But the twist.
Which one?
Dun, dun, dun.
The
voting twist. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Not the cast twist. I was confused. There's been a lot of them tonight.
Woo, Marissa. Yeah. Music.
Hey, Marissa, thank you. All right. What'd you guys think of the twist, finally? I still say it's producers wanting to keep Chris in there.
That was my question, was whether or not this twist was already planned or if this was something that they've developed since the show started. Because I think perhaps, and I don't know how this whole contract thing works really, but if they saw something going in a certain direction and needed to change something or get a new rule passed or change the game a little bit, I feel like they might have time to do that and have the lawyers in there and do it.
It changes. So sorry, I don't mean to talk over you. I don't agree at all. And Bachelor, yes, I could see them doing something like that. And Bachelor Pad, no, there's lawyers on set. There's money involved. And also the game changes so much every single day that in order to do something like that and have I don't think that they would have time on a rose ceremony night at all. I also think that every season we've seen them throw in voting twists.
Okay.
Whether it be the girls are voting off a girl this week and the guys are voting off a guy this week or vice versa. So I think that they up the ante every season, but there's no way that I believe that they could have done this last minute.
And also, if you notice, Chris almost went home tonight. So it wasn't the producer trying to save Chris. It was just the producers trying to throw in a twist.
Right.
Because up until Chris, you know, showed Erica that he wasn't voting for her, he was going to go home. Erica thought that he was the one that was trying to get her off.
So. Stag's trick almost worked.
It was very brilliant on his part, but...
Yeah, he's a master manipulator.
If they hadn't all talked about it so much, I think it would have been fine. If no one had... Like, if it was just Jacqueline who had told Erica that, you know, Chris was trying to vote her off, then...
Basically, if Erica hadn't confronted Chris about it, if she had just been angry.
Which she, of course, would. Like, right. Erica's not the type of person to just sit back and say, hey, okay, they're going to vote me off. Like, Erica's, of course, going to... They had to know that that was going to happen. But the problem is, and what I think a lot of people don't understand is, say the rose ceremony night, say Chris comes in at 6 o'clock. It's, like, midnight before you actually get outside. So, you know... the people that vote early in the night are kind of less likely to scatter. But what happens is you don't vote early in the night. You wait and you listen and you hear, because then you get a better gauge of who's actually voting for who, when everybody's lying to each other anyway.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is everyone scurries like mice. Like, literally, they just scurry. It's like cockroaches. They just go everywhere and in different places. And they go into these little circles and they start talking, and then they change circles and then they go to the next circle. And by the end of the night, you don't even remember who you're voting for. So what ends up usually happening is the last person that you talk to is the most influential in your vote.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, is they constantly talk to one another and over one another. And so it's really hard to make things happen on voting nights. And as we've seen every week, they've thought they had it to go, and then it's backfired every week.
It has backfired. Reed.
It always does.
Yeah. Now, you said something that I found interesting, that when Stag lies, everyone still loves him.
You know, and I tweeted that tonight. I'm blown away by it, because I love me some Stags. I love the whole family. I love Michael. I love Steven. I love Deanna. I love all of them. There's something about the way that he lies that people just are okay with it. It's like, if he lies with a smile and a song, it's like, it's okay, it's Michael. It's just Michael. He's so cute. And everyone feels bad because he's gone through his share of shit on the show. Oh, oops. Sorry.
Show.
Sorry. Ish. I mean, he's gone through his stuff. You know what I mean? So everyone kind of feels bad for him, and they love Michael, as do I. But when he lies on the show, it's just like, it's okay, it's Michael. When Chris lies, or I mean, people hate Chris right now. Like, I stick up for him on Twitter, and for every tweet that I say something good about Chris, I get like 13 back that's like, how can you stick up for him? And then you talk about, and I'm just like, oh, people are so hateful towards Chris. And I just think it's interesting that America loves Michael, who can lie, but the rest of them cannot. They hold them to different standards.
What do you see differently that America's not seeing then? Because if you're going against the current, there must be something you see that we don't. Just maybe because you've been in the game. What is it that you're seeing?
Do you not see a difference when Michael lies and when Chris lies?
Kathy, what's going on?
I think that it's because Michael only lies for the game. He's only lied to vote people off, and Chris has lied when it comes to his love life.
Absolutely. 100%.
And that's what Americans are seeing. And I still think Chris is cool, but like,
how
that's
do you think
what
Chris lied about his love life, as opposed to lied to teammates to make alliances?
He's told Jamie that he, you know, he really cares about her, but you know, like, I don't know. There were just like
he manipulates
shady things
to hurt
about
people.
That. Yeah.
When Michael lies, I feel like he's lying. He's lying for the game. He's lying, and he's not doing it to get anything specific from another person or to intentionally hurt them or mislead them as a person.
See,
he's
here's
misleading
what I
them
funny.
To the game.
Girls don't like the way Chris plays the game. Mm-hmm. And the reason why girls don't like the way Chris plays the game is because Chris is playing the game with the girls.
Yeah.
So where Michael is playing the game with the boys and using the boys to do things, Chris is using the girls, which is a way better strategy because girls fold quicker. We're more, it's true.
I know.
Our feelings get hurt. We get too involved. Jamie did it. Blakely did it. They all did it. They all fell for Chris's charm. Mm-hmm. And that is his game. He is lying to them. That is his game. So
girls, that's why people hate him.
But it's no different than Michael's game. It's just you're taking it personally because you're a girl. Mm-hmm. And you relate to Jamie, and you relate to Blakely, and you relate to that feeling of, I can't believe he just lied to me for money. He lied to me about liking me over money. Have you not watched the past seasons?
Yeah.
Like, I just think that that's the difference. I think that girls are not going to like him because they feel for the girl when it's still the same exact game.
We can all pretty much say that Stag is probably the best player of Bachelor Pad in its history, maybe until tonight.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think Chris took the cake tonight.
And let's see. It'll count if he wins it all, I think. You know, we determine it by championships, mm-hmm. by rings. If he wins it, I'll give him that title myself from my point of view. But till then, we'll see. We'll see if it's going to bite him in the butt.
Stag's is a smoother liar. Yeah. That's for sure. But he's also done it twice now. So I feel like he's a smoother liar, and he knows that people don't already dislike him, where Chris people already disliked. So there was nothing Chris could do at this point. But I do think Chris is going to end up taking the money and running.
Yeah.
After tonight,
well,
yeah.
Don't the past castmates have to
vote
on it?
Yeah.
So
yeah, but you rule more often than not how that pans out is how they played the game, right? Mm-hmm.
That was a really big thing even in our finale, because choosing between Tinley and Kipton and Dave and Natalie was what you would think would be a really easy choice, and you would think that everyone would have picked Tinley and Kipton, mm-hmm. and the hard part of it was that, you know, who you trusted, who you saw play the game, because then you watch the episodes out and you hear the people say things, and it was a really hard decision. And then you have to look at the pair and you have to think, what if you want only one person in that pair to win and not the other one? Because one person was good and genuine and honest and the other person was a straight up liar.
Like in last season.
And in my season. So it's the voting process at the end is really, really hard, and it becomes the lesser of two evils, and it's always a really close vote because some people vote game and some people vote personal.
What do you vote when you played?
I voted game.
Okay.
Fair enough. I voted game.
This is getting good. I'm really at this episode. I thought it was great.
Yeah, and it was a game changer. Like not that I was bored last week, but I was kind of a little bit. Like,
you said it.
I mean, the contest with the drama, like, they could have done a better job with it. The game is about manipulating and lying. They could have used better questions, like they did on my season and like they did on the last season. But I thought this week was a game changer. Like, it showed, like, Chris has stuff up his sleeve and he's so thinking outside of the box, like, hugely outside of the box.
Now, do you think, let's see, you know, that move he pulled, that he brought Erica with him to show him that I'm not voting against you, I'm voting Lindsay out. Mm-hmm. Do you think the producers will allow that in the, like, future votes? Because now people can just...
Obviously, it's always been allowed. If it's allowed once, I feel like nobody just took advantage of it, or nobody asked, maybe.
Wouldn't everyone start doing it then? Like, look, maybe. I'm showing you.
Maybe they'll all do that now. Who knows?
I couldn't believe that they allowed it to happen. But maybe. Now that I think about it, no one ever told me that I couldn't bring anyone in to vote. Like, yeah, they say you go in and you vote.
Yeah.
You go in, you vote, and you put your picture in, and they tell you to, you know, whether you want to show the picture or not, I believe is up to you. I don't remember. But it just, like, it's brilliant. Yeah. Like, who would have thought of that? And he probably just did it so quick that they didn't have a chance to say no.
Okay.
It's probably what happened, because I would think that they wouldn't want you to know. But I feel like he probably just did it so quick that nobody was there quick enough to not be on camera to break it up.
But there was a camera already in the room set up. There's no one manning that camera, or it's just there?
There, yes and no. So the camera people are all on mic. They can tell the producers what's going on. You know what I mean? The producers can listen. But I feel like in that moment, it probably happened so quick that they didn't have time to stop him. And then it would have been terrible continuity, because he would have said he was going to do this and then he didn't. So I feel like it just happened. I don't know that they'll ever let it happen again, but it was brilliant. Brilliant on him.
What you think, Kathy?
I just feel like, unless the situation happens again in that exact way, that someone says, you know, this person's voting you out when they're not actually doing it, no one's ever going to bring someone else in the voting room again with them, because usually there's someone in the house that you don't want them to know that you're voting for them.
But now, is it going to be kind of an accountability thing? Mm-hmm. And is it going to mess with trust? Because now that the opportunity's presented itself to take somebody in, if somebody's like, no, I don't want anybody to know, then it's like, well, what are you hiding?
Yeah.
If you're telling me the truth, what are you hiding? So I think it could be an interesting game changer if it somehow is still possible to do.
Yeah. You're on Bachelor Pad 4, just go in the room with everyone.
I know. It's like, I really don't think that they'll allow it to happen again.
Yeah.
I think that it was like a fluke.
But how is that legal then? If they're not making exceptions and they're not going to break any rules.
Because that has nothing to do with the voting process is a trust thing. Do you know what I mean? Like, you are lying to people in the house and saying who you're voting for, but that has nothing to do with the outcome. It's a trust thing. So you trust people or you don't trust people.
I think it does have to do with the outcome.
I think it does have to do with the outcome, but I would say that if they do another season, that they might write it in the rules that you can't bring another person in the room with you when you're voting.
I just feel like that would be different. I feel like it could be a grounds for discussion from somebody else, because if he had the opportunity to bring somebody in and save his butt, then why can't somebody else next week?
And
I think that's unfair.
And absolutely, you know, next week someone's going to bring it up. Chris brought someone in.
So.
If we get to see that, whether or not we get to see it, that's a whole different other story. But I would think someone's going to try to pull someone into the voting room.
Well, let's put it this way. Mm. If someone was willing to call the lawyers out on the teacup challenge, you don't think that they would have called the lawyers out for this? Like, if it was a legality thing and it was a show problem and it was a problem with the outcome that way, then it would have been addressed immediately. But the fact of the matter is that the voting process, they can't legally tell you to vote for a certain way, nor do you have to upstand what you tell somebody. Did I even use that word right? I probably didn't. Nor do you have to do what you say you're going to do. So he wanted her to see in good faith that they mm-hmm. were lying. So I don't think, while yes, it has to do with the outcome of who gets sent home, it doesn't have any legal issue in the show at all.
But the whole point of a challenge is to have somebody get home.
This isn't a challenge,
this is voting. No, but it's the same, like, it's the same concept
no.
of somebody getting to go home or not. It still has to deal with the outcome. That's the whole
the
point
outcome
of the
money.
The
yeah.
outcome
but
of who stays and gets
process.
The opportunity at the money.
But it's like a lottery. It's a game. The voting process, they can't control the voting process, just like they can't control the game. The game has one winner. It's a vote.
So if they can't control the voting process, then they can't now at this point say whether or not somebody can come in with you while you vote, or else they are controlling the voting process and they're hindering it.
Wow, this is getting hot. I love it, guys. We're going to continue this for sure, but let's move on.
I hope they bring it up next week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll see. Well, let's talk about, what I found interesting. We all know who let's talk about who got voted out, just because last week people said, you guys didn't talk about who got voted out and, about the guys. Let's definitely let everyone know.
I assume everybody watches Bachelor.
Spoiler alert, it's Erica and Michael.
Yes, Erica and
Stack. In case you weren't aware.
We're sent home. But
I'm glad they went home as a pair. I think it's perfect. We've been asking why they haven't gone home yet this whole time,
I think we called it last week. Most of us did, so.
Yeah, I didn't. I don't think I did.
But you got the news and gossip, which we're going to get to in about 5 minutes. But I want to talk about what I thought was even bigger than who left. It was what was said after Erica got voted off.
That was rough.
She said to Michael about Holly.
Yeah.
And did you think that was out of line? Does anyone remember exactly what she said, that Holly went home with a real man last season?
The best thing that Holly ever did was leave you.
Yeah.
For Blake.
Below the belt?
Completely. For someone who just went on for, 30 minutes talking about how she felt so betrayed by a friend. Like, mm-hmm. if you want to be friends after that show, you don't say that.
Yeah, it was rough. Context of the game, because the game is over for them.
Yeah.
And they have a friendship outside of this.
Mm-hmm.
Just reiterating what you said, do you think they're still friends after that?
It's funny. I thought about going through their tweets and seeing, because I'm really curious to know if they have maintained a friendship after that. I know that Erica does a lot of things on the show just for the show and to get a rise out of people and for reaction, but I even can't believe that she said this. I mean, this was so mean-hearted and full of vengeance and just angry. And Michael's a really good guy. And Holly and Michael's situation was sad, and it sucked that it happened on TV. And a lot of people held Holly to a different standard after that, and it was really hard for her as well. But that was like, that was the lowest point in somebody's life. Mm-hmm. And it's like, to bring that up and in front of everybody, like, it was bad enough when she was saying the things that she said about him and how they weren't friends. But that's Erica. Like, Erica outside the show is a little bit different, but she's never even been mean-hearted on the show.
What is she like outside?
She's just not so dramatic. Like, she doesn't, like, the sleeping with the help stuff, like, she doesn't really think that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, she does a lot for the show.
Would you mean like kind of like Kaylin?
He says
things that to get a rise out of people.
I don't know Kaylin.
Okay.
I can't say that. I know Erica. I've hung out with her. She's definitely a lot more low-key in real life. She definitely does a lot for the show and to make it more fun and to bring TV good drama. And I get that. But I just... tonight, I was really upset. Like, that was a really low blow, and I was really surprised that that came from her, because she's not mean-hearted.
Was there any tweets about that? Like, just how could she have said that? Oh, my gosh.
Everybody. Yeah. I mean, Trista, Bachelor,
really?
Family. Oh, yeah, even Trista was like, I couldn't believe the low blow from Erica tonight.
I'm surprised that Rachel was ready to go home because Stag left tonight.
That was an emotional reaction.
That seemed a little bit too.
Yeah. I think she was probably just overwhelmed and she couldn't believe it was actually happening. She didn't know what else to do. Like,
yeah.
I don't think you're really going to leave the game for that. I mean, they weren't like, oh, you're getting married. Like, you know, they had a relationship. They had a fling. Cool. Maybe they'll talk after. But, I mean, that's money on the line. You know what I mean?
The Bachelor bubble, though. Yeah, emotions get involved. So it's been a wild episode. But let's move on to some news. Kathy, what you got for us this week?
News. It's a little slow on the news this week, but if you've been looking at your Instagram at all and following any of the cast members on the show, then you will see that Kaylin and Lindsay are still on fire, en fuego. They have been spotted at a resort and spa. They went to Manhattan Beach together. So they've been hanging out a lot, like the past few weeks. Yeah, they've been, you know, Instagramming things starting like 3 or 4 weeks ago up until a couple days ago. So they're definitely still either friends that hang out a lot or in a relationship.
I love the quote from that article. Basically, she had his hand around his delicate waist. Kind of weird.
I didn't read that.
He's probably skinnier than she is.
They're doing some really cute things together. Like, they played with a dog. They went horseback riding. I mean, they're doing some pretty romantic.
I could see him being a horseback rider. He's very particular.
Well, cannons in love.
No, I mean, I can see it. Like, I can see him thinking that riding horses is regal. You know, and so he's going to do it so that he looks like a prince, you know, that rides horses. Like, I totally see it.
To keep up with the luxury brand consultant thing.
Yeah, to keep up with the luxury. Yeah, I totally get it. I can totally see it.
Nice.
And another couple that it seems like is still going on is Blakely and Tony. So two of the couples
so
that we got
funny.
To see this episode, but they've still been tweeting up a lot. And, you know, in the beginning of the season, you and I knew that they were together because they were doing these very sneaky tweets like good night princess and stuff back and forth to each other. But yeah, they're still tweeting each other. And then Blakely was actually in LA recently and Instagrammed a picture with Kaylin. So
interesting.
Yeah, with the friends. They're friends outside of the show. But what's interesting is that Tony and Blakely are still, whether or not it's true.
So jaded.
You are.
I'm so jaded. You know why I'm jaded? Because I'm jaded because of Natalie and Dave. They made me jaded. Like, they had this showmance and everyone thought they were dating and they weren't. And they continued that throughout so that no one knew they weren't dating. So on the finale, we would vote for them because we thought they were together.
Yeah.
And they weren't. So I don't believe any of this.
They're kind of sort of maybe in love. According to Kaylin, remember?
Yeah, I actually believe Kaylin and Lindsay would still be dating over Blakely and Tony. I actually think that the final four may be Blakely, Tony, Chris, and Sarah.
Ooh, okay.
Which then would be hysterical.
Yeah.
And would make me think that that's why Tony and Blakely are still keeping up the dating thing because people would be like, oh my God, they really fell in love. We want them to have the money.
Yeah. And so
think like a game.
Well, you were in the game, so I would hope you
I wasn't there that long. Let's not be crazy.
Any more news for us, Kathy?
That is it.
All right, news. Kathy Kelly, let's move on to some predictions. Even though Chrisley has already predicted who's won it, she's predicted Bachelor Pad 14 already for us. We're going to start with Candid.
Surprise.
What do you think is next week? What do you say?
Let's see. I don't know.
Who do you think is going home? Who do you think is in trouble?
Going home. I don't know who Nick is. Like, where is he?
Who's
Hello.
Nick?
Who's Nick? I don't know. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting. I guess he said something on the previews about Rachel being a widow. And so that'll be an interesting pair to watch progress.
I hate to put you on the spot. Instead of just saying who's going, what do you see happening next week with the spelling bee? Do you see couples getting together? See someone breaking up? What do you like?
I mean, I still think that the core couples, unless someone gets voted off next week, which I mean, I don't know how. I mean, Lindsay was really on the chopping block this week, and mm-hmm. if it wasn't for Michael, she would have gone home. So I don't know if somebody's going to try to break up Lindsay and Kaylin or break up some of the couples. It's kind of like it's heartbreaking, and at the same time, it's great gaming. Okay. So I think that some strategy is going to be pulled by the other contestants to break up some of the couples. Now that it's been challenged, now you know it's been challenged once. Now I think the door's open to do that.
Yeah. What do you? You see anything, Kathy?
What's going? Think people in the non-alliance are going to try to break up the alliance, and I think that if Blakely does not get a rose, that Chris is going to gun for her again to go home. But
and vice versa.
Yeah. And I just think it's kind of weird that they haven't had that makeout challenge yet this season, because they had it in first season and second season. They haven't done that yet. Maybe they're waiting for the couples to get even more romantically involved and then get jealous when everyone has to make out with each other. But
they did it with us when we were a bigger number. Mm-hmm. I feel like they would have already done it.
Yeah.
But I thought about that tonight, too. I was like, where's the kissing contest that made all of us want to vomit?
Yeah, it is down to 10, right? So
maybe mono was spreading around or something.
Ew. Maybe someone's passed their medical.
Chrisley, what do you... Oh!
Ew.
Just
AfterBuzz exclusive. Chrisley just said it. I'm just kidding. Ew. Kidding.
Maybe.
What do you see? Anything out of the ordinary? Because we called Stag last week. Stag,
yeah,
and Erica.
Yeah, we did.
Pat on the back.
Okay. I think Nick's probably the next one to go.
Yeah.
Unless Nick and Rachel.
You think the floater, really?
Yeah, at this point, I think it's getting too serious. There's only 10 left, right?
Okay.
Five and five. Yeah, I think that at this point it's getting too serious. I think that it's going to start to get real cutthroat. I think Nick's going to be the next to go. I think then it's going to be picked off from there.
Okay.
If Rachel shows any weakness, she might be setting herself up too.
Do we think they're going to do the same thing next week where they now pick a guy and then the guy gets to pick who goes home?
I think they're going to start doing... Do they go home in couples? Do you start voting couples off together?
No.
No? They just compete as couples.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's still one by one.
And it ends up that you end up going home as a couple because that's what ends up happening.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
They don't...
So you're saying Rachel's done deal possibly.
I think Rachel and Nick are going home next week.
Rachel and Nick?
If Nick gets voted off, I think he might choose someone else.
Okay. And I think it's going to be Kaylin and Lindsay, unfortunately, because I like watching Kaylin. So I think they're in trouble somehow next week.
Interesting.
That's what I'm throwing out. Okay, that's it for us, guys. So, Kathy, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at Katherine Kelly.
Chrisley.
Can find me at Chrisley.
At Candon Bliss.
And you can find me at The Everyday Man. You can find all of us at AfterBuzz TV. Stick around if you're watching us live. We've got The Glass House coming up next. And for the rest of y'all, we'll see you next week. Good night, everybody.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.